Hey, everybody. Thanks again for joining us for our Women in Worship podcast. Today, we will be continuing our conversation with Delyn Rizzo. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and we hope you enjoy. Well, you've dealt with a lot in ministry, I'm sure. Speak a little bit. I'm going to take a little turn here. How do you, in your years of ministry, how have you dealt with, because I get this question a lot, I think we do, conflict within your team? So, you know, we have, and let's just be honest, girls can be catty. Girls can be dramatic.
No, really?
No, y'all didn't know that. Hey, guys, you who are listening, gals, are you one of them?
Drama queens.
But, you know, just as keeping, like, the focus, keeping the main thing the main thing, maybe what are some ways that you can encourage the ladies that are in these pastoring roles, how to deal with that? How do we deal with conflict in a way that values them still?
Yeah. It's tough.
It's hard.
It's tough. You know, we were talking earlier that, you know, my personality, I think y'all's is kind of black and white. And we're very direct. Yep. So when you mix that with a band and all these different personalities, that can be tricky. And I feel like for a lot of years, it was difficult because, you know, I was outnumbered. It was mainly guys. So all the guys were in the band. And then, you know, my sister and a few other girls, singers. But before we had a big team, it was just like a few of us girls. And I learned that the musicians, mainly more than the guy worship leaders, are very sensitive.
And guy musicians are sensitive.
And I thought it was just the girls, you know, and I had to learn. And in fact, I'll never forget one time at a rehearsal saying something to the drummer, and I don't even remember what it was, but just saying, hey, maybe could you play it this way or change that. It was nothing critical that I felt like. It was just, let's change that. And one of the other band members tells me later that he was so embarrassed and offended that I, like, called him out at this rehearsal. And I was just like, if he thinks that's calling him out, he should be in my house sometimes. You know, like, to me, that was like nothing, you know, because I'm mom and I just got my kids. It wasn't getting on. It was just, hey, you know. So I had to learn that I had to be a little more careful in those situations. So I went to him and apologized and learned that maybe one-on-one instead of in front of the whole team. Because I just want to fix it right then and there because I'm not going to remember probably. But in our situation, that worked better. Also, down the road, I got a band director. So I would just talk to him. And then he would take care of most of the things. You know, you're going to have it. So you're going to have conflict. You have to learn how to resolve it in the best possible godly way. And, you know, usually it's meeting with someone one-on-one and just say, so sorry, you know, if I did step on your toes, you know, not my intention. You know, let's look at the big picture here. Let's get back on the same page and make it work. And let's just keep doing
what we're
doing.
Like the point you brought up. I think as leaders and pastors or whatever role that you're carrying in your church, it is a smart thing to be aware of how you come across.
Yeah. And you
when you're leading
sometimes.
Teams. And that to me comes through relationships and asking the people that you trust to go, hey, do I have a blind side or blind spot I'm not seeing? And how so can I get better? So maybe talk about that a little bit. It comes through relationship.
And I think sometimes when you're friends with them too. See, that I was heart, just, they were heart. Like my kids almost. They've been our youth group. So when you all also have that good rapport and relationship, you can kind of blur the lines a little bit, you know, and that's what I did somewhat. I just took that for granted. So you have to be more careful.
Well, I think this is key to what you just said is it can't go unresolved.
So
like
true.
It's got to be resolved. You can't walk back in on Sunday morning at 6 o'clock and get ready for a line check and looking at, you know.
And you feel
the tension, you feel the frustration, you feel the, and I know even for me personally, I'm one of those that if I feel it, I want to address it now. I don't want to wait. I need to do it now because I can't function as a human being knowing that there is an issue without just looking and saying, hey, we got it. What are we doing? What's going on? And there are people that are not like that, and they are not very comfortable with that. And I don't understand that. And then I get frustrated because I don't understand why you can't just talk about your feelings and just let it go. Like, now let's get through this. So I love that. Then that may be a point of saying, hey, you know, we work on the fact that it can't be, because a lot of times we avoid conflict for the sake of peace.
Right.
But we're sacrificing peace because we're not willing to address conflict.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love that.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
But I want to hear a funny story.
Oh, goodness.
We go from conflict
to funny
stories. Well, I will say one more thing about conflict. I have learned from people on staff, like I was saying, you need to be surrounded with people that can show you or say, hey, you're blind. This is a blind spot that you're having.
Yeah.
But it has been such a comfort to be around and watch other leaders and how they lead and how people respond to them, and then pick that up for myself.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
You know, always being a learner.
Yep.
Always, I kind of consider myself, I'm really observant. Like, I will watch how people react. I'll watch how this, you know, our worship pastor, John Larson, is great at this.
He is.
I've watched him just walk in humility, and then how he honestly just, is so peaceful the way he talks to the team, you know, and there's so much comfort that you get when he speaks, or even when he's bringing a feedback, you know, or in some lands you can call that correction.
There you go.
But yeah, so I think it's important to have just team around you that you can learn and grow from. And if not, then you find and you listen to other people and how they deal with it. Mm-hmm. So. But yeah, let's move on. You have a story that I think everybody is going to be blessed by. So can you share that story with us?
Okay. Well, Lee is referring to back in the day, we wore dresses to church every Sunday.
Story of yours.
So you know, we hadn't come into the pants world yet. So, which I'm so glad we have. But so we wear skirts.
Freedom.
And, oh, God. And pantyhose. Oh, gosh. You know, go to church, have a run. I'd hop in the gas station and get the little egg legs.
Oh,
do you remember
yeah.
that? I'd have to put a new pair on. I don't even own a pair anymore.
Wait, do you remember how to stop a run in your pantyhose?
The clear nail polish.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, girl.
Oh, yeah.
I tried hairspray one time and that run went straight through it. I was
okay.
like, this does not work. We didn't have Pinterest back then.
Yeah. Well, so one of those days with a skirt on, and then you had to wear slips. So nobody probably has slips anymore. I think I have one just in case in my closet. But had on a slip, and somehow that slip, I think, was too big for me. And I felt it as I'm singing falling down my legs. And so I'm just like, what do I do?
Your pantyhose.
And I had on pantyhose and all these layers. And so I just kind of had to try to wiggle it up as I'm holding a mic and singing. It was awful. But I mean, it was like, do I let it just fall and puddle on the stage or do I pull it up? I think it probably will be better if I pull it up and they don't see the slip. So yeah, I've had that. I've stepped out of a shoe or my shoe fell off. I had to step back into it. My zipper's been down. I mean, you know, I think when you do it, as long as we have, stuff's going to happen. But the slip was one of the worst.
So another fun fact about you is your shoes.
Lee thinks I always wear heels. I guess I do more than you.
You wear heels, but you have to have your toes out.
I don't. Yeah, I'm kind of claustrophobic a little on that. Yeah,
really?
Out right now.
Very toes. She has sandals on. Wedges on right now.
I don't
now.
Wear boots very often because I get a little claustrophobic.
Mm-mm. Even in the cold, Delian has.
Usually. Once in a while, I'll break out the boots. But yeah, and some people are weird about that with girls that sing. They don't want to see their toes. Have you ever heard of that? So, but I'm like, sorry.
No, listen.
I was just going to say, I feel like those are the people that fall in, like, no white after Labor Day.
Oh, okay.
But we're from the deep south, so the temperature never changes here. So, toes out, white all
anytime.
The time.
Anytime.
It can be 20 in the morning and anytime. 80 in the afternoon.
Exactly, like today.
So, Pastor Dino, it walked up to me one day, and I had some really just, you know, because fashion sneakers are kind of in
right
now.
Yeah, you're so cute.
He looked. He walked up to me at prayer, and he said, thank you for not wearing booties on stage.
I love it. Well, we would get tickled how sometimes we would come and it could be hot outside, but
everybody
girl would have
boots.
On boots.
Yes.
So that was like a thing, I guess, because we're from Louisiana. We'd say, how are they wearing those boots today? So that's where he gets that from.
It is funny. And they'll be suede. You're mm-hmm. like, man, it's hot outside.
Too yeah. much for that.
Let your
too
toes
much.
Breathe.
So cute.
So from now on, be like, you need to watch Dylan's feet.
Oh gosh, I love it.
In the summer, you need to be so wearing what Dylan has on.
So fun.
So one maybe last thing I would like to kind of talk about.
Sure.
We all go through. I think one of the hardest things is difficult, challenging. Let's say challenging.
Yeah.
Are transitions that we go through.
For
some
sure.
are good.
Yes.
Some are yeah. crazy, mm-hmm. challenging. But, you know, and I think that the older we get, we really learn how to manage those, right? So, for instance, I've been at another church and been to another church. So some transitions are good and some are really mm-hmm. hard. So in your life, you know, you were the pastor of a church, and then you came to Highland. Mm-hmm. So maybe walk us through and encourage the ladies, because I have a couple friends right now mm-hmm. that are thinking of their time at this place is about to be over. Yeah. So I have a journey in front of me that I'm not real sure what that's going to look like.
Right.
So like, was there like a scripture that you hung on to? What were there people like the conversations that you had? Maybe what are some things that encouraged you? How did you get through it?
Yeah.
Of course, leaning on God is definitely the win here, you know, right. the major. But is there anything you can maybe share about that transition or a transition in your life?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's not easy, you know, like you talked about. And, you know, living in one place and doing the same thing for so long and then moving to a new place was very difficult. I think the most difficult thing for me was finding my value and identity again.
Oh, that's good.
So if we're just going to be really honest, and I think this could really help some girls just for their future, because I think as worship leaders or whatever we do, we can get so sucked into that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we get our affirmation, our value, our purpose from that
mm-hmm.
instead of who we are. I knew better, you know, been raised in church all my life, walked with Jesus. But when you go through a big transition and everything is different, you do question, well, who am I now?
Mm-hmm.
And what do I do? And so everything changed in my life, and it was a huge transition. I think for the first year, I just kept thinking, we're going to go back home. So I'm not going to really try to like it here or get very plugged in because I just want to go back home. But I remember finally God just dealing with me and saying, you know what? You've got to be faithful to what I put in your hand here. And I know it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not the same. But I can still use you if you'll just embrace it more, because mm-hmm. I just didn't want to embrace it. And I think in a transition, if we are resistant to change, because I don't like change, and I think most women don't. I like routine. I like a schedule. I like the same people. So all of that was so different for me. So we can't resist it, but we do have to embrace it. But we have to give ourselves time to.
Mm-hmm.
Time and a lot of Jesus and a lot of great people that love and support us. But, you know, I will say this could encourage some people to just dealing with all that. I remember John including me right off the bat and saying, mm-hmm. come be a part of the team. And I really didn't want to all the way, but I thought, you know, I probably need to. It'll be good for me. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know everybody here. I knew John. I knew CJ. I knew Nicole a little bit, but I didn't know everybody, you know? And so I remember I came to a rehearsal one night and didn't know what mic to use and didn't know, you know, just everywhere's different.
Sure.
And I didn't know the protocol and and the kind of just the way that they did things here. And I remember I was going to lead a song that week. And some of the girls were so sweet and gracious and just bringing me in. But I got tickled because one of them was, I was like, which mic do I use? And she was like, well, you're going to use this one because this is for the BGVs or whatever y'all called them.
Background.
Or no, these are for the worship leaders.
Worship leaders. Okay.
So you wouldn't be on that mic. And I was just like, oh, okay, that's great. She didn't mean anything by
sure.
it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like, oh, you know, I had this offense in my heart. It was just like, wow, you know, okay, you know, I don't know my place here. I don't know what I am, you know, and it was, and that happened a few times, just because they didn't know, they didn't know who I was or what I was doing, but that was okay because it made me really lean on God and say, you know what? I don't have anything to prove.
Yeah.
I don't need to rely on what I was and I'm just gonna be who God's called me to be here. But I can remember having to have a lot of heart checks.
Yeah.
And, you know, wow, this is different. And I could kind of withdraw and be like, I don't really want to do this. And I don't want to go through this and all of that. But it was like, no, it's this is good for me, actually. I remember saying to myself, because I was so used to being the leader. I was so used to telling everybody else what to do. And I like being the boss. I don't know about y'all, but
like, who doesn't?
I like being the boss. And my mom, it was cute. She's like, she tells me that. I was like, you're bossy. I'm the oldest.
Right.
You know, my so it just kind of comes with my, I'm a very good delegator. But it was so good for me because God said, you know what? I don't want you to be the boss. And you need to learn. You talked about being a servant and a team player and, you know, that you can do it all and you tell everybody else, well, now it's your turn.
Right.
And so I do thank God for that. But an identity just crisis for a while. So transitions can really make you doubt who you are and, you know, your role, and because we get value from that.
Right.
And I really, you know, one scripture that I have always clung to, but I really have the last few years here too, is Psalms 92:12, I believe it is, those who are planted in the house of God. You know, and I said, God, even though my role is different, and sometimes I will actually still, I'll be in a service and I'll think, gosh, I wish I could, you know, talk to them and, you know, be a part and help plan that, or I wish they would have done this or that. But it's like, that's not my place. That's not my role. But I'm planted in this house and I'm going to flourish when I'm in my role.
That's good. That's really good.
I don't know if I just went off on a million tangents.
No, fantastic.
But I've never shared that about those few little rehearsals, but I think it's good.
Yeah. But it happens to all of us.
All of us.
It might not be that that exact thing was said.
And it's okay.
But like, things are said that sting your heart a little bit.
Right.
And you
we're
go,
human.
Oh, yeah, I'm not real sure. Right. And I think in those seasons, you just have to be okay with it.
I know.
It's almost like God's just like, hey, just relax. Let me handle it.
Yep.
I have plans for you. And that trust, just you have to anchor in that
absolutely.
Trust in who he says you are.
But I can remember Nicole and you, Lee, just every time I would sing, making me feel so welcome and so a part.
Well, that's a relief because I was like, was I one of those people?
That's awesome. No. And like I said, there was nothing.
It was totally
not that they did anything wrong. They didn't know, and it was no big deal, and I can be whatever. But y'all would make me feel, and I remember getting in the car after, and I would tell Dave, oh my gosh, they made me just feel so apart and so good and just so comfortable. It meant the world.
And here you are, 2 weeks leading worship again.
And 2 weeks leading worship again.
Well, I think it better be on the schedule.
Yes, I have it down on my calendar. I'm ready.
You are ready. She's going to be there. No, well, thanks for speaking to that because I think you know, no matter what stage of life that you're in, because it did happen to you when you were, you know, more seasoned than like a 20-year-old,
right,
and how they deal with that,
right,
opposed to how we in our 30s and 40s deal with that, mm-hmm, is very different.
Yeah.
And it's the maturity that you have been brought through because of your experience and through because of how long you've been walking with Jesus that makes a difference in those situations, for mm-hmm sure.
Hope so.
All right, one last question.
Oh, goodness.
Bethany, do you have any questions? I'm asking all the questions.
I'm just soaking it all in, you guys. I love it. I love it.
I am asking all the questions.
I indulged on my kid's story, so I'm just saying that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. What would you tell your 20-year-old self now?
Wow.
It might take a minute. Everyone, bear with us.
I know her first one, and that would be just don't worry about the slip.
Yeah.
Just don't worry about the slip.
Because those gals are like, what is, hey, they're like calling their friend, what's a slip?
Break the mold, wear the pants.
Call your mom.
That's it.
Call your mom.
Or, you know, then we wore the pants under the skirts because Darlene Check did. So that was the cool thing. So that was our transition into the pants.
Darlene Check was the coolest.
She was the coolest.
And if you don't know her,
all of our heroes,
you need to go look her up.
She is the best.
She paved the way.
The best still. I love her so much.
She paved the way.
Yep. I would say, Lee, probably I would tell my 20-year-old self just to chill out a little bit.
That's good.
I was just, I'm a lot more laid back now than I was. So everything had to be perfect. You know, my kids, my house, the church, worship, whatever I did, I just wanted it to be the best it could be. I would just say chill out and not put so much pressure on myself and just enjoy it more. So I think if, you know, the young generation coming up, just enjoy what God's called you to do. One thing I really try to tell myself now is I have nothing to prove and nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't live like that for a lot. I think I always felt like I had something to prove and I had a lot to lose. And I'm now just trying to say, you know what? I don't have anything to lose and I have nothing to prove.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very freeing to just be so comfortable and confident in who God made you in your own skin and to just be the best you can be. And you're going to make mistakes. It's okay. Just get it back up and do it again.
And sometimes I wonder if that's possible for the younger generation right now,
mm-hmm,
with just the influx of social media and the things that they have, mm-hmm, you know, bombarding them all of the time.
Yeah.
The comparison game.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been there before.
Absolutely. I mean, you always battle it.
Yeah.
I think it's just, you always will till you die.
Yeah.
Because there's always somebody, I've always said this, speaking or devotions, anything, there's always going to be somebody prettier. There's always going to be somebody that can sing better than
mm-hmm
you. There's always going to be somebody that has more than you do that you wish you had. So it's not about that.
Yeah.
Because there's always better.
Yeah.
It's just being your best you and thanking God for how he made you.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think they have to learn how to turn this thing off, this phone off sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tell my kids that you cannot base your worth on everything you see on this.
That's really good.
You can't, or you will be in the dumps every day.
Yep.
And that's why so many now just battle depression and not that there's anything wrong with counseling, but they need it at a younger age, it seems like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm
uh-huh
saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't cope. They can't cope with just all this and where do I fit in and how do I rank?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about ranking.
That's really good, yep.
It's not so, about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to say, but it's harder to live.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't live it, we're never going to be content. We're never going to be truly happy and flourish.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And that's what we all want, to flourish.
Yeah. And you know, one thing, talking about flourishing and helping others, one thing you do so well is that I've watched you just be an amazing champion for other women.
Oh.
And yeah, well, you are. You are with Art Women. I mean, so many look up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And your life has just been... It's just brought so much value to every woman, I think, that's come in contact with you. So maybe one last word. What have you learned, or how do you love to champion women? What are some ways that you do that?
You know, I think that just being in their corner, encouraging them, mm-hmm. writing little notes, texting, you know, I love you, you're amazing, you can do it. I know how much that means to me when girls do that to me. And just, yeah, not being in a competition, mm-hmm. but like really cheering them on.
Right.
That we don't just say it and it sounds good, but we live that. That when you succeed, I succeed.
Right.
So when Lori Champion has a great women's conference,
oh, yeah.
gosh, I'm women too.
Yeah.
We all are, all the ARC women. When Leslie, when Becca Kettleman, all the girls, when they have a win, we all have a win.
Yeah.
When you girls are now a part of this amazing women in worship, I win.
Yeah. Right.
Because I'm cheering you on. I couldn't be more proud. So it's not that we should feel, gosh, less. Because other women are doing great things, we need to feel proud mm-hmm. and cheer them on. And that's how God will bless our life.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. It's a great word.
Yes.
It's a great word to end on.
100%.
Well, listen, we just want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
It has been so fun.
It was a blast.
We love you. And we got to hang out with you. So this podcast was secretly just to hang out with me.
Love hanging with you, girls.
So, yeah, thank you so much. It's going to be great. We're excited.
Thanks for all y'all are doing. What a need out there. And so I really feel like this is going to be huge for girls in worship. So thank y'all.
I love it.
All right, ladies, everybody, stay tuned for some info. We'll see you soon. Hey, thank you guys so much for listening today. And don't forget to subscribe. And while you're subscribing, please leave us a review. Because leaving that review, it really helps to support this ministry. Hey, and get the word out. Also, don't forget to share it with your friends and family and follow us on Instagram so you know exactly what's happening with Women in Worship.